Good evening and welcome to this time of worship on this Maundy Thursday. This is a night when we remember, when we rehearse and reenact that Last Supper that Jesus shared with his disciples when he washed their feet and broke bread with them. We are invited to gather around this table with him tonight to break bread and to remember. We are headed into this holiest of days for the Christian faith, and I would remind you that tomorrow at noon, we're invited to gather again for the service of Good Friday, where we hear the story of Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, and then to gather again on Sunday morning. We have worship at 8:45 and at 11, where we hear the good news of the empty tomb. But tonight, our journey begins, our journey to the cross, and I'm glad that you're here. So let us center ourselves as we have already begun our worship through our music and prepare to meet Christ at the table where he is our host.
Our sins by you were A table is set before us. A feast is prepared for us. A meal of bread and wine. The Lord calls us to this supper of remembrance. The Lord calls us to serve and to be served. As we break the bread and share the cup, our understanding may fail us, but we will never forget Christ's example. We will never forget the full extent of his love. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Holy God, you have called us to serve others as Christ has served us. We confess that we have not followed Christ's example as fully or as often as we should. We turn away from people in need. True humility eludes us, and we hide our own vulnerability before others. You have commanded us to love one another as you have loved us. We confess that we do not love so generously. Gathered on this Holy Thursday, we confess that we are capable of denying and betraying you and one another. Forgive us, merciful God, and cleanse us all our sin. Then guide our feet to walk with you always. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Thank you. Let us join together for the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during the supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the ones who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am only with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God.
As we've journeyed through this Lenten season, we've been asking the questions why we as a people of God do the things we do. Why worship? Why gather? Why pray? Why serve? Why give? And on this night, when we remember Jesus' last meal with his disciples and his washing their feet, it's only appropriate that we ask the question, why love? As you just heard Eddie read, Jesus gave them a mandate. He said, "I give you a new commandment, that just as you love one another, just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Why love? Well, the answer is simple, because Jesus told us to do so. Jesus said, he commanded us that we should love one another. Now, we call this day of Holy Week Maundy Thursday. And Maundy comes from the word mandatum, which is a Latin word, and it means mandate or commandment. Now, it is not in my job description to rename holy days, but I think, as someone suggested, it would be nice if we could rename this word Maundy, which very few of us understand, to something like Love One Another Thursday, or maybe the last thing Jesus really wanted us to know Thursday. Now, this is the message that we need to hear, that Jesus said that other people would know us by how we love one another. I just spent 2 weeks in Atlanta with my daughter waiting for my third grandson to be born, who came 9 days late. But every time I held baby Jonah, or my other two older grandchildren would crawl on my lap and cuddle and give me a hug, I was overwhelmed with love in every part of my being. As much as I was ready to come back to Nashville after spending 15 days in Atlanta, I confess that I was a little sad and teary-eyed when I held Jonah for the last time and hugged my other two grandchildren and daughter goodbye. Why love when in moments like these, how can you not love? And I know that God looks at each of us and sees a beloved child, a beloved daughter, a beloved son. Despite all our failings, all our sins, just like when I hold my new grandson in my arms and am overwhelmed with love, God loves us. But I have to say, I think about the many times when during those 2 weeks, no matter how much I tried to show those two older grandchildren how much I loved them, they only wanted mommy. Mommy, 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 no, mommy. As much as I loved them, there were those moments. You know, when I must say that when I think about why love, I don't struggle with that. I mean, I know why we love, because Jesus told us that we should love one another. What I have a challenge with is the who and the how. At the end of the day, Jesus told us we are to love everyone. Jesus said, you've heard it said that you should love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. As Aaron reminded us a few weeks ago, Jesus loves some pretty seedy characters. But when we spend time with God in prayer, our hearts and minds are transformed, and God's priorities become our priorities, and we love the people that Jesus loved. Loving Jesus is like Jesus love is not an easy kind of love. It's a down in the trenches, awkward kind of love. It's a choice we make to love as Jesus loved. Let us be honest. People can be wonderful and they can be hard. There's a Peanuts cartoon where Linus is crying, I love mankind. It's the people I can't stand. So how do we love our enemies and those we deem unlovable or other? We simply try to see them as loved and cherished by God. As we earlier confessed together, we do not love generously. We are capable of denying and betraying God and one another. And just as we in our mix of righteousness and sin are embraced by the outstretched arms of Christ on the cross, so are those we deem unlovable and other. Many of you know at West End that one of my responsibilities is to be the first responder when anyone comes to ask for assistance, whether they walk in or they call in. Anytime my phone rings and the caller ID says receptionist, I just know someone's waiting downstairs. When I pick it up and they'll say, Lisa, can you come down? I walk down the three flights of stairs, and I try to listen patiently as the person shares with me what they might need. It may be a bus pass, it may be food, clothing, it may be assistance for a bill. I can't always help them, but I do what I can. And it's not always easy. I confess one time, after listening to a woman go on and on and on and on for about 30 minutes with her story and never really telling me what she needed, I finally said, I am so sorry, but could you just please tell me what you need from me? Sometimes people come and they could use a bath, and it's really difficult to really sit that close to them and try to listen and hear what they have to say. And I have what I call my regulars, people who come in frequently. There's one man who has been here many times, and I think 3 or 4 times I've put him on a Greyhound bus to another state. About 6 months later, I walk down those stairs and turn the corner, and there he is again. There are days when it's really a struggle to show compassion, and sometimes it's difficult to really believe the stories people are telling me. Or it's the first of the month, and I've just gotten call after call after call. When I'm in about that 8th call, I almost can't do it anymore. But then I recall Thomas Merton's words, "Our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy." And I remember with gratitude how blessed and fortunate I am that I don't have to humble myself and come ask for help. There but for the grace of God go I. I pray that on behalf of West End United Methodist Church that I'm able to show love. Oh God, help me to love them as Jesus has loved me. I know for many this time, this Holy Week, has been darker than others as we've mourned the loss of our pastor, former pastor Michael Williams. And, you know, as I've traveled with Jesus during these days of Holy Week and to the journey to the cross, the question, why love, has become more than a question. It's become more of a cry. Why love? As hard as it is to love people that are other and, you know, that we deem other, is loving those persons who love us back that can really break our hearts. C.S. Lewis says, "Christian love is the most costly investment you will ever make. To love is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken." I know all our hearts were broken when we heard the news of the loss of Michael Williams. Yes, loving others can be hard in so many ways. Love can be difficult and frustrating, and it can break our hearts. And yes, we should love others because Jesus commanded us to do so. But the real reason we love is because God loved us first through Christ. We cannot love like Christ without Christ. We do not have the power to love others by ourselves. God's mighty act in Christ, laying down his life and picking it up again, gives us the power to love one another. On this Holy Thursday, we meet at the table. All are welcome to come. Those who betrayed friends and will do so again. Those who will deny and will curse before the night is up. We, like the disciples, ask, "Lord, is it I?" The answer is always, "Yes." Then we remember, knowing what was to come later that night, how Jesus knew his disciples would fail him, how he washed their feet, even the feet of Judas, who would soon betray him. In a few minutes, we'll celebrate communion together, and we'll hear the phrases that we're told that Jesus said on that night so long ago as he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples. On the night Christ was betrayed, he took the bread and he blessed it, and he gave it to his disciples. We hear this all the time. But what if we heard these words just as often? On the night Jesus was betrayed, he turned to his disciples and said, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." Tonight, as we eat this bread and drink from this cup, know that we are choosing no less than to feast upon Christ's love for us and then bring that feast to others. If every person who called themselves Christian would do this, no one would ever have to ask who we follow. They would know by the love we have for each other. Let us love.
As Christ died as an offering for all, let us bring forth our offerings of service and gratitude.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. For the earth you bring forth bread and create the fruit of the vine. You formed us in your image, delivered us from captivity, and made covenant to be our sovereign God. You fed us manna in the wilderness and gave us grapes as evidence of the promised land. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. When we turned aside from your way and abused your gifts, you gave us in him your crowning gift. Emptying himself that our joy might be full, he fed the hungry, healed the sick, ate with the scorned and forgotten, washed his disciples' feet, and gave a holy meal as a pledge of his abiding presence. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. And now, as children of God, please pray with me in one voice the prayer that Jesus taught his friends and disciples to pray.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
On that holy night, an ordinary loaf of bread became for the disciples and for us the body of Christ that would be broken and given to all the world. And the cup that he lifted became his blood, poured out for forgiveness and grace and redemption. Before we serve those who are serving and begin to serve all of us who are gathered, just a few words about our receiving of communion this night. We are receiving by way of intinction, which is a little different from how we receive on Sunday mornings when we gather. We invite you to come at the leading of the ushers to in front of the altar rails. There will be stations, and if you will come with your hands open, you'll be given a piece of the bread and are invited then to dip it into the cup and receive in that way. After receiving, you can come to the altar rails for prayer and stay there as long as you would like. We'll also have gluten-free bread and cup available. Just let Emily know that you need that. Becky and I will be making our way around the sanctuary to serve you. If you're unable to come forward, just let us know. We always have an opportunity to give to the missions of the church, and if you feel led to do so, the offering plates are right up front, and tonight's gift will go to the outreach ministries of our congregation, so in many different directions to shed God's love and light in our world. And as always, as has already been said, as is always said when we come to the table, this is the table of Jesus Christ. He is our host, and all who are here are welcome. So let us make our way to this table this night. Let us pray together. You have given us yourself, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen.